of central data. Next, we have education grant for Representative Andy Joe. Representative Brad Hopkins, Representative Deputy Lewis is on the phone. Representative Chris Tuck and Representative Mike Parks are in the room, and myself, Representative Harry Dunn. We have a plan to conduct business. This may be our last education meeting, but there are many people who are saying we're going to be here until next week, so we could potentially be meeting again on Monday, and as long as we're all still in the Capitol, I think we should continue to do the work that we were sent out here for, because Monday we will resume the normal course of business, which we have a plan to conduct business. So, let's remind everyone to sign up some cell phones. Our recording secretary today is Sharon Kelly, and Brett Collins is our FYO moderator assisting with track and telling marketing support. Thank you both. When we left off yesterday, we were reviewing the amended sectional analysis for the CAS 3-1 House Bill 153 and the House Bill Reads Act, and looking to open up Senator Baggage's office was presenting it to us, and I believe we were at about 15:13. But before we begin, I would like to say that because things are drawing to a close here in the Capitol, and I know there are members who would like to make their amendments to this bill, legislative legal, their drafters are unable to accept amendments or anything for end of session bills right now. The budgets, economic assistance bills, health care bills, and so on are necessary for us to close out down here. So what I would like to do is discuss just in kind of a free way potential amendments that might go into a committee substitute as we move forward with this bill. So let's proceed on that. And Mr. Rubin, if you'd like to come forward.
Good morning, Commissioners. For the record, my name is Lucky Little Rubin, Office of Senator Baggage. Off at the end of section 12, I believe there were a few questions that were being raised on page 11 regarding some of the very specific standards that were set out for high quality pre-K programs.
Section 12 of the bill, we're on pages 10 and 11. Representative, sorry,
yes, I think it's really clear. I know we talked a little bit about this yesterday, but we'll need to have my memory refreshed. But my first question is on page 5, page 11. It says my election was
for an education program. To me, it strengthens my point there, as we said, I'm for a locally designed evidence-based early education program. Now, I really list the standards here, and there's a few other parts of the column that I like. I'm trying to get a handle on it, says it's a long bill, is where in policy we put sometimes a theme for regulations and what something will look like or how it's described, and some of us are going to go along to get up on the internet and comments about some things in some detail, and it seems like they're usually in regulations, and policy is more of a broader statement on how to do it in there. But on line 11 here, I thought our programs along with them were 4 hours. I would say 6 hours. Anyway, I didn't know any full day is considered 6 hours.
As you the chair, I can remember during public testimony in the initial pilot, you have the statute that defines school hour days. And it would be my recommendation to insert the Alaska statute that defines school hour days instead of doing a grant stand for a half day program or full day program by a local design program, as that may be interpreted as creating standards for 3 separate programs.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
My words, I'm sorry.
Then I'm trying to get number item B, which is on line page 114 of this page. And I ask the question, is this memo improvement of the teacher in charge of our uniform program to school district program? Because I was thinking at some level, you're overseeing a broad range of the classroom, so I just wanted to clarify it's at the school level or school district level, the program, and it doesn't specify in there. But I can see in many instances where I'm certified teacher would be in charge of many schools, and they'll have different levels of teachers working there, they may have different qualifications or paraprofessionals. So I had a question there again, because I did not remember what your response was yesterday to that. Sorry.
These standards were drafted in consultation with Andrew Morales and the National Institute for Early Education Research, and we did delineate out all of the qualifications for a high quality pre-K program. And one of those qualifications is having a certified teacher in charge of the classroom. So I believe this is specifically talking to a classroom, a teacher would be the lead educator. They would be assisted by their professionals or educational aides.
I know that in some areas, to have a certified teacher that don't matter early. Anyway, that's what this is about, our 4- to 5-year-olds. It's not about our early learning programs. And I still would like, hopefully, we can hear some more comments on that as we go along, maybe from some of them later or something.
Thanks. I'd like to know before we want to report for any flats out in the clothes, what's the department's learning director until she moved to Colorado a couple of years ago to run their early learning program statement. And these standards were written by Andrew before she left the state, and they were in collaboration with what national organization?
The National Institute for Education Research. In addition, these studies were also drafted in consultation with Oklahoma, which is one of the longest running early education pre-K programs in the nation. And finally, there's some good visual evidence, which was introduced at the beginning of the function session, and the precursor to that was SB99, which again had these exact standards laid out.
That was that SB6 was just the preschool bill.
Correct.
Thank you. I just am trying to get an understanding between locally designed single standards. And I don't know that much about how it applies to teaching, but in the industrial world, standard, it takes away local decision making. And that's in the industrial world, that's what they're designed to do. They're intended to do to work to a standard. So, if somebody could help me with that or could tell me who I need to talk to after this meeting to try and think about how local standard certification and local control or national standards, local national standards, digital certification. Basically, our notice item 5 says that regulations establishing standards for early education program provided by a school district, which are going to work 4 or 5 years for this, I think that's in itself is leaving local control. If we're going to, I'm just afraid that we're going to not relax these local districts if we get too prescriptive with this section right here. You actually spell out in here if you have a problem with that, they have full data, and just go right back to statutes. That makes things simpler. I think that we want to give the flexibility as much as possible to the board in writing the regulations. But with these things in mind, the locally designed, the way we're done, and locally designed, evidence-based program. What this is all about is evidence-based program. We did bring in other statutes and other areas of the bill. I guess I'm okay with that, but I think this whole thing is designed around evidence-based programs.
And I need to point out that locally designed evidence-based is on line 12, on page 11. So I don't think we need to review it at the top of the section. It's on standards. Yes, regulations must include A standards for A. One half-day program, 2 full-day program, 3 locally designed evidence-based program, that is less than half a day that meets early education program standards. Somehow it seems like locally designed and evidence-based should apply to all of those. It also sounds like it may apply just to a less than half-day program. Might be a short period of time. I could consider making a recommendation to possibly move that A subsection 3i up to line 5 as suggested by Eric and Mr. Ray for that locally designed evidence base would pertain to any program that was created within our education structure. So, if I may, regulations establishing for locally designed evidence based standards for an education program provided by, and then remove line 12. And currently, it's dangerous for any industry. The LS is likely to pertain to a school day, thereby removing subsection I and subsection double I. And with regards to what we've done, I do believe the commission is opening. And he has some comments regarding how students are trained locally in an evidence-based design they co-advocate.
Commissioner?
Good morning, Commissioner Benson.
Good morning,
Chris. Good morning, Chair. Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning. All right. Sounds like you're ready to jump in here.
Thank you.
those 12 questions, so if you could just briefly summarize them.
Start doesn't need to be in here since we were closing with them. Allowing for it to be or Head Start and putting the requirements that they have.
not have a criminal did not have a teaching center, but the number of them have had years of experience with teaching preschool and had other training and are very qualified. And I think in some of our preschool programs in Tito, where we had teachers who don't have a teaching certificate but are very qualified in. So that's why I'm saying I'm going to start I'm trying to get my head. These are all school district programs. But what about our partners that we work so closely with? Now, through the chair, because this is not a Head Start bill, we do not address any regulation, reform, or change to Head Start stipulations within these touching on the way that the Department of Education at the moment interacts with Head Start. I would look to the commissioner as I'm sure of the parameters is not necessarily a direct head start program or any development of the program other than to ensure that we hold head start on us with the instruction of the universal all-day pre-K program.
For sure, I would comment on this, area about head start in our kids.
I'm just trying to complete my question before, but I know this is all under 5, which regulations establishing standards for a program for school district children. So when I look at line B, requirement of teacher inherited in the program, or the valid teaching certificate, so that the school district program, and again, just concerned, does that mean at the district or a school level, administrative program at PSD has 22 villages in Bethel and many schools. So I'm having a hard time visualizing. I can visualize a teacher overseeing some programs, but there might not be three significant teacher in that classroom. Does this VA take care of that situation? That would be line 14. Assuming that each of those districts has a teacher in charge with a valid teacher certificate in early childhood education. I believe I'm going to have to assist from the commissioner. Commissioner? Of the 26 districts that have early childhood programs, I assume each of them has at least one teacher in charge of that program with a valid teacher certificate in early childhood.
Thank you. things. We do have a grandchild that takes a certificate in this one. That means 514, 20. We have the early education, we have SPED, we have secondary, we have elementary, we have a specific one for pre-kindergarten and early education currently in existence.
And the
other thing,
I think, is that
I apologize. I've just got a note from Marcy Burns, who's been very helpful with this bill. She's with the Alternative Utilizing, and she wants us to think about the locally designed evidence based program term. She has a needs definition. And I don't know where that would come from.
I don't know if that would be required or
versus community who had an adopted 8% of the budget. I don't know if there's a little bit of interaction.
Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you, Representative Hopkins. All right. Let's continue.
Moving on to Section 13. So Section 13 amends Alaska Statute 14.17.500 by adding a new subsection T. That establishes that a normal education student shall be counted in the school district's average daily membership as a half-day student once the early education program has been approved by the department. Section 14 amends Alaska Statute 14.17.905, subsection A, to include students in early education programs approved by the department in the definition of an elementary school. Section 15 amends Alaska Statute. Section 15 of the Alaska Statute 14.17.905 by adding a new subsection D to avoid letting school districts count pre-K students twice in a formula foundation pre-foundation formula ADI calculations. Section 16 of the Alaska Statute 14.20.015 subsection C to ensure teaching certificate reciprocity for teachers moving into Alaska from out of state. And adds that such teachers must complete at least 3 credits or equivalency in evidence-based reading instruction in order to be eligible for Alaska teaching investment in early education.
Thank you. Representative Cox. Speaking. Could it look in Section 15? It seems scarce enough funding to be there is more federal funding. So we had talked about integrating this somehow with Head Start. And if this the federal funding that you're speaking of is a Head Start program?
For the chair, this section essentially says that you can't count an early education student twice. So if they are a Head Start program and a pre-K program, those programs cannot be simultaneously elected at the same time when you're double dipping. You can't just take state funds and have federal funding to a state student.
And in addition to make it even more confusing, the Head Start funding, which is, I think, about $48 million to Alaska, is triggered by about $6 million from the state as seed money that's required in order to get the federal part. So that receives state, it actually should be some state and federal funding, which defines the way the Head Start program is funded. So my question has to do with if the child is attending a Head Start in the morning and then a preschool program in the afternoon, how would that work? Because I see the very valuable the child could go to Head Start in the morning and then have another full-day experience for the students in different programs. So I didn't want this to compromise funding for Head Start. Because the child attended at another time a preschool program.
If the regulations are not yet written, I might have to call the commissioner because he would be the one who would have to be enacting that particular plan. It would be more backlog than evidence if I were to tell you that type of structure.
Commissioner, any comment on the combining or having the same child attending a Head Start program in the morning and a preschool program in their local school in the afternoon?
Yeah.
this morning?
Okay.
had a restaurant in San Antonio too. But we must grant that it can pay for the customers. But in the government world, we don't want to be competing with Head Start. We don't want to be duplicating Head Start. Conceptually, is that correct? So we need to know what they do so we're doing something different.
School subsidizing targeted intervention programs. This is the Honest Rates Act. Let's go.
Please be with me. Section 18 establishes Article 15 reading intervention programs. Establishing Alaska Statute 14.30.760, which is a comprehensive reading intervention program. This program is designed to increase literacy by children. The department will require to establish a system of support for teachers in kindergarten through grade 3, adopt a statewide screener assessment tool to identify students with reading deficiencies, and provide support to teachers of kindergarten through grade 3 students through training on the use of statewide screener assessment tool and on signs of reading.
How these students would be assessed on their ultimate their reading. And the commission said that it would be involved in a number of different assessments and opportunities to see the positions in the position to adapt later. As it here says, it may turn to a screening and assessment tool a few times a year. So that would be multiple times in the year, but it would be the same type of assessment that would be developed. It seems like there's more. That has not been developed yet. I'm assuming the commission will be talking about who you see being involved in the content of that screen of the assessment. Would background for educators be at that table, in the qualification table?
Commissioner Johnson.
Thank you.
reading and literacy, and so they think all of them to the central core to be good enough. Not being perfect readers, but just very helpful to be enough. So we are broadly adapting this filter, the big picture of them, so that's all they were doing. What they might be.
Identify students with reading deficiencies, including students with characteristics of dyslexia. Maybe you could say, including but not limited to students with characteristics of dyslexia. That's nice, and I do believe that this is the first time dyslexia will have been introduced into statutes. Is that correct? And I think it's a huge step forward for education.
Students with reading deficiencies. It includes everything.
That's
a broad term.
It's not going to happen. It's actually, it's critical that the flex should be limited. It is the principal reading deficiency that our students have, and it's taken years for the education community to give it a name and recognize it. Teachers have told not to talk about it in the past, but it's actually quite an issue. We need to address it and address it early so that kids with dyslexia can be given the opportunity to read proficiently, which they can if they are given evidence-based writing programs and mentions right from the get-go instead of waiting until they're third grade.
Yes, and I agree very much that I just speak to style of writing, if you would say, if you want to emphasize dyslexia, instead of using the word including, you would say especially or such as, and then you wouldn't, because when you use a really broad term and then a specific example, it tends to exclude everything else. Yes, that's kind of where I was thinking that. I'm not sure if you're going to be able to do that.
as one of the principal recommendations of the task force was to make sure that dyslexia was named and defined in the statute. And I wouldn't be surprised if we found that measure further back in this bill. So, looking at line 14 on page 13, where it says, are the 15 reading intervention programs? And my question has to do with, to me, this is that's what a core reading program is. Every teacher should be doing now, and many of our schools are doing now. Have all these things to have your district 2-1 reading program. I would like to know, where do we have it in our reading standards, what our core reading program should have? I'm concerned we're creating an intervention, but this is your core program. This is what everybody's doing, an evidence-based reading program for the district. You should have these things. It's a being known. And so I'm not wondering what that is. And here is an instruction that based on 1150 degree and intervention services. I think it is Article 15 should say evidence based reading programs. I shouldn't have that intervention word in there because this is what everyone should be doing in the court. We're about 31. So that would be my question probably to the commissioner. Section 14.30 with your district reading intervention services, and we talked about what the intervention services would be. Intervention strengthening, but maybe strengthening a reading across the state.
Statute in front of us, this is done on this one section to add as a new section. Reading deficiency, and dyslexia, because the task force identified that as a principal
some of the things that I was going to talk about and about them, but it wasn't going to be too.
Yeah, we're going to need that. Because it says to identify students with any reading deficiencies, including students with characteristics of dyslexia. And any is going to take up a myriad of conditions that because this program is a kind of reference to what Chair Drummond said, was to help our students be stronger readers. Yes, because we don't want to have them have more children, especially when they want to get their reading correct. I'm too great that the Suffolk Commissioner could please remind us of how many children we're talking about. Our percentage. I'd appreciate that.
Mr. Chair, let me get started. So, the National Special Education Program, the Suffolk County University, is the state for the state assessment program. This program is to consider students in the 4th and 4th grade range. Thank you.
said, no surprise.
I think that the
pay for these out of their own budgets.
Madam Chair?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I think that as long as we can explicitly state that in statute that the notion of contract removal will be subject to the understanding that those protections will be put in black and white.
Potentially several amendments that Representative Sikorsky wants in this section. Thank you. Representative Stewart.
Yes, page 13, line 14, again, this has to do with the title of Article 15, and I had suggested doing a evidence-based screening program into the United Kingdom, and whether that's taken out or not. I think it would be appropriate here to start with culturally evidence-based program or that locally does local evidence-based working program to go with what we've been saying locally evidence-based argument. But to me that honors my being our title of the cultural local work that we're striving to provide to all of your districts. So that's a thought just right out there and other sides of it.
If I may, page 14, starting on 18, that section might be a good place to if there an amendment regarding cultural locally being designed. This is a tool of
screen.
Yes.
And that was page
14, starting on 18. Both during and outside the school term. After the school
answer your question, Mr. Huber. Currently, we don't require an individual reading plan. Correct. In the special ed area, it's called an individual education plan, or an IEP, that is mandated by the federal IDEA requirements. So this is something new that's been introduced in this bill. But it's for students who are not making adequate progress as determined by the screeners, as determined by the screenings, and getting intervention services.
Now, I would ask the commissioner to speak about the sharing of the reading literature that we need to do that type of thing.
I'm
is based on line 3 to above that, or number 3, weapons, evidence based media intervention methods. This is all about using evidence based, so I don't think that primary reliance repeated there. That's just a given that we're going to be doing that. Number 3, same as number 4. And then number 5, incorporate daily targets for learning reconstruction. Although I appreciate that daily, I know all school schedules, it's hard to do daily, and it says that schools must, in line 4, must do daily targets for reading instruction. Well, I think they like to. I think the hours of the school day changes the schedule, they might not be able to do it daily. So those, and I'll just make one more comment and then I'll let other people comment. But this is going on page 15, line 5. Number 1, it says be provided by a district reading teacher to all students and grades gathering to third. And I wondered if after teacher it should be or a paraprofessional and then a supervision of a reading teacher. Again, just knowing our vast districts and our many schools, and it seems it would be good to insert or a professional, paraprofessional, underneath running supervision of a reading teacher as an amendment. So, do you have any questions about those two items? I don't know if the commissioner would like to speak to those, or if you would, Ms. Tolman.
Thank you, the commissioner would be a better advocate to talk to these students.
Commissioner Allison, can you keep up with Representative Story's suggestions?
Students with an individual reading plan, and who also score in the lowest achievement level on the district's grade. provide direct intervention services both during and outside the school term. Outside the school term, direct intervention services must be set up with reading teachers and be directed by the student's individual reading plan. Districts and schools must notify parents if a student exhibits a reading deficiency at any time during the school year.
August to the end of school in May.
That's the same that is correct to
the outside of those months. Again, an additional cost, as Representative Story, I'm sure. Anyway, I'm sorry.
The students in our schools must notify parents if a student exhibits a reading deficiency at any time during the school year. Notification must occur within 15 days of the DCB identified. The initial notification must state the district or schools identified, state that the school or district has identified a student as having a reading deficiency, and that an improvement plan will be developed. Describe the current services the student receives and the proposed additional services the students will need to remedy the deficiency. And that plan must identify strategies the parent or guardian could use at home to help the student succeed in reading. If the student is in grade 3, if the student is in grade 3, the notification must also include a request for a meeting with the parent or the student teacher and or other district staff to discuss appropriate grade level progression. The meeting must take place at least 45 days prior to the end of the school year. The steps. Section 18 establishes that the student in grade 3 must demonstrate proficient reading skills to progress to grade 4. Multiple pathways are provided for a student to demonstrate sufficient reading skills for progression, including performance on statewide reading screening or assessment for alternative reading assessment as determined by the State Board of Education, or also as evidenced by the student's reading portfolio. Good cause exemptions are included. This is the first time good cause exemptions have been included for a reading progression, excuse me, for a grade level progression. These good cause exemptions include having a disability or a student is learning English as a second language. This section also provides a process for parents and guardians to request an exemption for their student. Districts must provide intensive reading intervention services for all students who do not progress or who receive a good cause exemption. For students who do not progress to grade 4 who have previously been delayed in grade, an intensive acceleration class must also be provided by the district. Section 18 also establishes a literacy program to provide direct support and intervention services to up to 10 low-performing Alaska schools each year that apply for services. The department will be responsible for providing each selected school up to 2 reading specialists. A reading specialist is a person who is employed and funded by the department and will meet requirements established by the board. One specialist will be focused on implementation of reading intervention services consistent across all classrooms, offering effective instructional strategies, coaching and mentoring students and paraprofessionals, training teachers in digital literacy, leading and supporting reading leadership teams, better partner school and student performance to the department. The supporting reading specialist will assist with all duties defined above or serve as the reading specialist of the school's early education program, depending on the specific makeup of that school. The department will be required to establish a process for the reading specialist to report on program implementation, work with the reading specialist to establish improvement goals, including measures of interim progress, to support and purchase additional reading materials to supplement the reading intervention services, and the department will pay travel costs for the reading specialist to attend development trainings identified or hosted by the department. The department will also be responsible for periodically reviewing staff development programs and recommending to the board programs that meet high quality standards as identified in Alaska Statute 14.07.065. Section 18 also establishes Alaska Statute 14.30.770, a program that allows schools selected to participate in a intensive school reading program that would require reading specialists will not require to perform functions and differ from duties
use of that paragraph in which the school will hold public meetings. Let's see, the third paragraph of the triad of the American Section 1.
And then from that from page 22 of the bill, starting on 924,
this is the bill in Section 18, intersection 18.
The statute 14.30.750 Department Reading Program.
That's a pretty substantial requirement placed on the schools. The public meeting will address all students in the reading program or just individual students. I'm not clear on how that's supposed to work.
Thank you.
to Cheryl Courtney. I feel it's really important that way to influence a principal before meeting specialists, because I know and just being involved in schools, the most critical thing a principal does is to schedule everything revolves around it. They spend days, months setting the schedule. And so I don't know about it as a school Cheryl Courtney, but I think it's a I'm just concerned about that, and so I would like to hear from the commissioner about that from school districts. It says school staff shall work with the parent or guardian to schedule a date, time, and place for the meeting, and if no parent or guardian attends the meeting, the teachers will have to determine grade level progression. And I feel like setting that up one meeting can address some logistics of getting a hold of a parent and guardian and the circumstances. I would be much more comfortable if it's that the school staff should work with the parents or guardians to determine whether retention or progression is in the student's best interest. To just scratch off the word date, and the teacher and school staff should determine grade level progression. To have the school will work with the parents to determine whether retention or progression is in the student's best interest. I'm sorry, I'm not clear on what you're asking. So on line 16, after the word 2, your process schedule, maybe this is my thinking, just in looking at the bill, of course, I want discussion with the bill sponsor and the commissioner, Gary Nancy. But I would think it would be best to complete schedule a date, time, and place for the meeting, all of line 17, and 18, and in place put after the word 2 or line 16, determine whether retention or progression is in a student's best interest.
Determine through the care, I believe that's the different line that the bill sponsor is interested in trying to step in this bill.
I think I would like to ask Commissioner Johnson to talk to us for a little bit on retention. There is a lot of misunderstanding about who is or is not requiring retention to happen. And I'm really sure if you could speak to this, I would appreciate it. Really.
Meeting.
truancy officer for someone who's, you know, trying to work with families and say, definitely not going back home to school. And maybe policies that were tried that were not good policies, such as we would being part of the life, could find a parent that they didn't have their children coming to school. And for many parents, for various reasons, why they don't come to school was economic and they couldn't pay fines and it didn't happen, it wasn't enforceable. And I just bring that up because there's many reasons why I still feel under the law a parent, even if we understand the reasons why not to, I think if that was really pushed, it would be unwise in policy to say that our word is over a parent's word or our decision.
So there's some kind of really difficult time understanding that if a child missed 80 days in third grade and their parent says, no, this is not going to be, this child is not going to be okay with that, that shows up in fourth grade, how is the school possibly going to provide the supports that that child needs in fourth grade if they're not competent to understand the work happening in the fourth grade? If you
want to answer real quick on that,
we'll do wrap up comments here at the end of the question. Pastor?
My understanding is that things are open. I think for you, for an example, our students are missing over 50 days of school. And so I guess that is the question, what do we do? We just allow them to help you. And parents or other professionals are saying, hey, this isn't a good idea. So I might say, we have to keep some of that to local control. But I don't have the answer to that, but I appreciate that.
Hopefully we'll work with that child starting in kindergarten so that it never gets to that point of no return at 45 days, 45 days out from the end of third grade. You have 3 years prior, 3.5 years prior to that.
Because it's not a conversation, and I just think we should have an answer to that question.
And perhaps that products and networks are Hopkins, and then we'll wrap it up for today.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think it is essential to figure that question out. Do the parents drive the state, require the state to provide it? I don't know that it's not an education. If they're not participating, do you have to continue to provide the service that ultimately is going to pay? It's just an absurd situation that we do have to confront to address.
Representative
Hopkins. Thank you, Madam Chair. I've been trying to answer your question, but this is how we're reading now. And the discussion that the first group brought up also involves rules specifically turning this law around. The senior community, because they have the university professionals, they have their choice in how they do it with the local policy, like the state and the commissioner before. So, and while that's absolutely valid, we're not necessarily looking in this bill out of the truancy rules and all sorts of statements. We're entirely doing this by the organizing ourselves with a government that needs to get between the student and corrupt the decision, and representatives go back personally. A very good example of this, and especially here around the school district of the rule, so the board has overruled the decision filed up by a parent to retain the student on. And if a student is moving on, whether without this is the outstanding value of the day present in the school, and she might be impacted in this bill. Those are policies that are really at the school level, so I think the minister is absolutely right. And that's not necessarily a concerning area of this bill, but I think the school board will overrule the parent's decision. So I'm going to back her claim and I'm going to go on that one, especially because so many the examples given in this community so far are disproportionately impacting the rural classrooms. Whether we're looking at need for the traditional schools, I don't know if they have, but we're looking at those schools that just build in there, they come from the same area, because they're based on our big five school districts, are within the decimals of
spirits that will be seen as protection, these school board policies, or on parent decisions, just partially as a puppy, we're all asking and removing it. And that's a big concern I have, and I think it is baked into how this is going to work because of my students and parents requesting good college exemption. That's actually not fairly looking forward, and that is something I have to put forward in arguments about the school board. We have the expectations of parents and parents, if you don't understand. The discussions that are happening throughout this process with the teachers and with the principals are feeling that parents are going to have the literacy level of itself to be able to understand what the full concept is behind this bill and what those meetings are having. And we have so many urban and rural learning formation areas. I think preparing the parents and those students who are not familiar with your environment and grappling with what's happening here, and I have substantial response to parents in places like my district before. I need to do that in terms of structure disproportionately impacting rural students and districts and putting parents in a disadvantage. So that's a very large concern that I have.
Section 6 on page 3, this bill changes the start date for the starting age for a child. They have to be 5 years of age before June 1st, preceding the beginning of the school year. The current 5-year cutoff is September 1st, I believe, and that's going to change significantly the population that is entering kindergarten. Senator Shelley Hughes, who serves on the Senate Education Committee website, about the importance of that section and her recommendation. She says people are actually excited about that, but we need to postpone the implementation of that section to a second time that parents can plan. Because if they were planning on sending their child to kindergarten in September, in August or September of that year, and they have to keep them out of school for another year. That has significant economic impacts on families, and need to give time, people time to adapt to that.
We've come on hands, and I think we need to have a discussion on this, because she really wants a September 1st date, and she justified the name from the education committee the right way, and that was in part to keep that date. So I think we need to discuss that more. As a closing, I know my question. I mean, appreciating you doing 80% of our guardian's language for the record, because I do think we've talked about the public policy in the area, but I think there are many parents whose children were not reading by the end of third grade, who just did not. Just did not want their child to know that they had to be retained. It would impact their time of pregnancy. The board could have simply found their child was going to do it, or something was threatening to happen, or did not believe in the result. As a result of their time of retention, I'm concerned that those parents would be able to make the final decision, recognizing everything you talked about as well. So if I could hear that language just for the record, that would be great.
I'm not sure that this bill, it looks like that if the parent doesn't show up at the parent's meeting, the party doesn't show up to that one meeting, I think that's a clear concern. Otherwise, I think it's all pro choice in this one.
No, I mean, I would seems like it, but my concern is just not that the part does not have the last word, should have the last word, and that would not be a problem in the court of law. It's parental authority seems to be sacred.
If I may, in this bill, my question is, who has the last word?
In this bill, it seems like this is scholar, I suppose, the Lord does.
Is it the Lord? Yes. Not the Department of Education, but the middle school. There is a lawsuit against the school district. Right now, this bill doesn't address it, it just gives it to the level of control.
With that being said, I do have the language from Senator Barbara Hansen, who stands to it. At the meeting described in this section, the driver guardians, the teacher, the parent guardians, the teacher, and participating staff members shall decide whether the student will be well advanced in the next grade level in the next school year. If the parent or guardians, the teacher, and the participating staff members are not in agreement, the parent or guardians shall decide whether the student will advance to the next grade level unless circumstances exist as specified in the policy adopted by the district that would prevent advancement.
This is a bill that the 28th of September, and it passed on the 20th, which did not pass. Interesting. All right, folks, we are way past our time. I really appreciate it. We're going to get a party for the clearing of the moderator. We are up to the point for our rules. We have the ability to be hearing this bill on Monday as a bill previously heard. If we are still here and we have not researched or observed or any other term of wrap up, we may find ourselves here on Monday, so thank you for your emails and tips.
I'm not very good.